Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of Tarot International. The Tarot trainers are experts in helping you and your business to achieve, lead, and outclass in every situation. Learn more at tero.com.
Welcome back to Insight on Business, the News Hour. Grateful that you're listening to us from wherever on the planet you happen to be. With me is Zach Bales Henry. He is a business person in the Village of Windsor Heights. He's a realtor with the Black Phoenix Group, something that he started on his own. Always been an admirer of Zach. He was a member of the Windsor Heights City Council for some time and a community leader, and it's great to have him on the show today. Zach, welcome to the program. Great to have you here, man.
Thanks for having me.
Well, I want to talk about houses just a bit. Talk to me about the Black Phoenix Group. How long have you been in business?
Yeah, so I've been a realtor for the last 16 years, bounced around at various brokerages, helped found another brokerage here in town, just decided at one point that I wanted to do my own thing. So I started Black Phoenix Group in 2020, picked probably the best time in history to start a real estate brokerage.
Why not, right?
Which is, you know, is ironic about this is when I first got my license was in 2007. So not only did I get my license at the best time in history, I started my brokerage at the second best time in history.
For those of you who don't perhaps remember 2007, that was the downturn in the housing market as well.
The very beginning of the downturn, I got my real estate license. Thankfully, that was significantly more difficult than starting my brokerage was in 2020. Because as you remember, the beginning of 2020, not a whole lot was happening, but once we rolled through March, the lockdown started to happen. Thankfully, my business is fairly fluid and I was able to adjust. And it turned out that the market itself rebounded significantly. No, for various reasons, the government had a big part to play in that. And there was a swath of people who were ready to purchase. Interest rates were historic lows. So the last couple of years have been fairly good for my business and my brand.
Well, how many? I was talking to another friend of ours, who I haven't seen in a long time, Rob Spearman. You know Rob.
Yep.
And Rob is a broker as well. And he was telling me an interesting fact. He said, you know, to really be successful in this business, you got to have in your pocket anywhere from 3 to 6 houses. You know, to keep momentum going. Mm-hmm. You think that's accurate?
I mean, it's a numbers game.
Yeah.
That's all it really is. And there's this magic number in real estate. It's the 5-year mark. If you can make it past 5 years in real estate, you can usually sustain yourself off of past clients. Just residual business that will continue to come back. Not that it's guaranteed. You certainly have to work for it because a lot of clients don't go back to the same realtor over and over again. But if you can continue to market yourself and continue to stay in touch with your past clients, you will continue to get business from them, and you can build greater amounts of business off of that foundation.
And you're there. You're there because when I see you on your social media posts and things, what I'm getting from that is that you're trying to stay in touch with people that you've done business with and try to attract new folks, which is why we all use social media. You know, that's one of the reasons. How is that going so far? I mean, you started this in 2020. You know, we're only, 3 years in?
Well, there's been a lot of ups and downs. I think my goals have changed since I got in the business 16 years ago, but they certainly have changed since I started Black Phoenix Group. The whole goal for me when I started Black Phoenix Group was to be small. So I actually scaled down.
Right.
Which is a taboo terminology to use inside of the real estate industry because most people want to scale up. My whole purpose or goal was to create something that was much more lean, much more intentional, and much more structured to specific clients, providing great service. And not that you can't provide that with a big box brokerage or lots of clients, but it gets significantly more difficult the more clients you have. So if anything, I actually turn clients away. Not necessarily past clients, but new clients. If I feel like we don't have a good connection or that I'm not going to be able to offer them a full service, I'll just say, hey, you know, I don't think that we're the brokerage for you. There's 2,000 other realtors in this town. You're more than welcome to work with them. But my whole goal when I started Black Phoenix Group was to be a lot more intentional with my interactions with my clients. I wanted to be able to guide them through the process, actually pay attention to every step of the process. And not that I wasn't doing that before, but like I said, it gets a lot more difficult when you have,
we have layers.
70 clients yeah. than if you were to have 30 clients.
If your name's not on the door, then you got to follow somebody else's rules.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
And I totally understand that. I think it's, I was trying to figure out the last time I was in a corporate setting.
Yeah.
You know, I think it was 25 years ago.
And those big brokerages do tell you what you should and shouldn't do. And it's not always a bad thing to have that backing. But the problem you run into is we are now in a time in our history, especially the real estate industry, where things are in flux. And the pandemic really taught us that we have to be flexible. We have to be flexible with our commission structures. We have to be flexible with our marketing. We have to understand that there's a lot of things at play here. And some people think that we are a luxury. So when that starts to happen, you have to earn your keep.
Right.
And some of these big box brokerages don't necessarily understand that. They're still operating off of this mentality of like 1985 where people are going to pay you 7 or 8% commission. That's probably not realistic anymore, but 6% is not unrealistic. So if you scale back and you start your own brokerage, the fees are less,
right?
It makes it a little easier to swallow that 6% or even a 5%. You have to be more aggressive.
So the Black Phoenix Group, I think it's a great story, especially I always thought I'd love to have been a realtor.
You and everybody else.
Yeah, right. But I wanted to be a realtor because I love going into other people's homes
yeah.
and seeing the decor and seeing what they're doing. But, clearly not my cup of tea. Zach Bales-Henry, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest. He is the owner of the Black Phoenix Group. We started our conversation a couple of weeks ago talking about architecture in the village of Windsor Heights. Windsor Heights is home to about 5,200 people, and about, you would know better than I think about 2,600 homes or something like that.
Yeah.
And but the history of the architecture in this little town is amazing, and you happen to live in one of those Spanish-style homes on University Avenue that is just stunning. It really is, with the clay tile roof and the,
yep.
The way it looks. You know, it's amazing. So what have you uncovered since you moved into the mansion on University Avenue, other than a lot of work?
So I need to start from the beginning. So I moved to Windsor Heights in 2014. And I had a little ranch-style home, little 800-square-foot house over on School Street.
Really?
And the, I'm a realtor. Of course, I'm going to be interested in houses. So I did a lot of, like, research on that particular home when I bought it. It was my first house. I love that house, actually. But the unique thing about this particular town is it was a mining town
right.
at one point. And so I don't necessarily have a lot of information to back this up, but I have a feeling that a lot of the homes that were south of university were old, like mining houses, like company homes, because they're very small, very efficient. So they built them very efficient for that time period.
Many without basements.
Yeah, there's some slab homes over there, exactly. Yeah. So I think if you live in Windsor Heights, everybody knows about the Spanish houses on university. Even if you don't live in Windsor Heights, you kind of gravitate to those homes. And I always thought, hey, you know, these houses are really interesting. And the particular house that I was most interested in is the one I live in now. And the weird thing about this story is every time I drove by that house, I told myself, if I ever had the chance to purchase this home, I would buy this house.
Hmm.
And one day, it popped up on Zillow under, like, Make Me Move, and I contacted the owners. And it took a few months of negotiating before we actually got that house. So we moved into this home, and when living there in selling real estate, I knew that there was something special about this house, mainly because I see hundreds, if not thousands, of homes every year or so. So there's just some unique flows in this home that you just don't see repeated in a lot of houses. So I started doing some research, and I got into this crazy story of this developer, which was the Colby family that developed Windsor Heights initially. It was a, used to be some farmland, turned into some mining land, and then they subdivided it and started to build out Windsor Heights. So there was three builders that developed a majority of our town, one of which was the Colbys. There was another builder, I forget his name, and then there was this builder called James Bensmiller, and he was from Keokuk County. I forget the town that he was from. And the crazy thing about this is his father was a contractor. He was born, James, was born in 1899. And he didn't live very long. He actually died in the 50s. So, you know, it's kind of a tragic story because they lost their kid at a young age. Their child got hit by a car and died. Mm. And then he died of a heart attack, I think, in his 50s. Then his wife passed away in, like, the 90s, I believe. So they have, like, no relatives. It kind of ended with them. But the interesting thing was is he went out to California and started to pick up this style. And the style at that time, like, 20s, 30s, was this Spanish-style home, really big in California. He brought that back here to the Midwest, and he started building homes. His first homes were built here in Windsor Heights. And the crazy thing, I don't know how to emphasize this enough, the crazy thing about the way that he built homes is he didn't build homes in a similar fashion. Like, all the homes had variations. Like, there were very few homes that were similar. Most builders try to build
kind of a
similar
cookie cutter
homes.
Thing, right.
Exactly. Like, look at the Colby homes. Many of the Colby houses are very similar. They maybe have like five or six variations. But his homes, it's really hard to find what homes he built because none of them look the same.
Hmm.
And so I found out that this was his first family home, our house. And they sold specs out of our house. They sold homes out of our home. Like, these first rows of homes on University were the first homes that he had built.
Wow.
And it's just a crazy story. Crazy story.
And not only the Spanish-style homes.
Yep.
But he built other styles of homes.
Is that
accurate?
Yeah.
There's a section of Des Moines called Beaverdale,
mm-hmm.
and it's known for the Beaverdale bricks.
Yep.
And fascinating homes. Wonderful architecture. Did he have a hand in any of that?
So there, like I said, there were three primary builders. Of course, there were other individuals who were probably building like one or two houses, but they brought a lot of that style to Windsor Heights, and a lot of the same architects who designed the Beaverdale bricks also designed some of the homes here in Windsor Heights.
Mm.
So yes, there is that style. And I always tell people when they're looking at Beaverdale, I'm like, well, you look at Windsor Heights because a good chunk of our house or of our town has that style.
In the northeast here. Portion of the of the
yep.
city.
Exactly.
That, yeah. And those two are excellent examples.
They are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do people stay in their homes in Windsor Heights a long time?
Yes.
Yes, they do, don't they? Why do you think that is?
I mean, anybody who lives in Windsor Heights understands that we're a different kind of city. And I think some of that is people choose to stay here. That's not very common. We have a unique style of homes.
Yeah.
And we span from the early 30s all the way to some homes that were built within the last 5 years. The majority of our houses were built in like the 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s. But I think some of it is we have that small town feel and people really gravitate towards that. But also some of that is we have a unique style of homes and people really enjoy living in homes that have a history.
Right.
And they're good quality houses too. Some of the stuff that you see built today, even though I'm sure people would argue this, don't necessarily stack up to some of the things that were built 50, 60, 70, 80 years ago.
That's correct. You know, I hearkened back to a winter several years ago. My son lives in Waukee, and he lives in one of those cookie cutter houses. You know, they all. I have to actually look for his address when I go there because I can't tell the difference between the homes.
Yeah.
And so one night it was blowing and snowing. It was just, you know, and he calls me. He goes, "How are things over there?" I said, "Oh, fine. What's going on?" He says, "You got to speak up." I said, what do you mean speak up?" He goes, "I can barely hear you. The house is rattling and, you know," and it's true. I mean, the quality of the houses that are built today are nowhere near what they were when my house was built in 1968. So, yeah, it's a whole different thing. Our guest is Zach Bales Henry. He is the owner of the Black Phoenix Group. We're talking about signature homes in Windsor Heights. Now, there's that Spanish-style house that you live in. There's a row of what, maybe four along your side of the street?
So I used to think there was only four, but there's actually like eight homes on University that he built. It's just the problem is some people have removed the initial clay tile roof, so it's hard to pinpoint which homes he actually built and which ones didn't. Because originally, when I first bought this home, I thought maybe in Windsor Heights he probably only built like 10 houses total. But I think it's probably closer to like 30 or 40.
Really?
Yeah.
And again, being able to tell which is which or what houses are built by this gentleman.
Yep. It's tough.
It's tough. It's tough. Because every house has got a different feel to it.
He had a couple signature moves that have helped me kind of identify. And again, this is a theory of mine because I've not actually been able to talk to all these owners. But he has some reoccurring themes that he puts in all of his houses.
Like what?
So he did a lot of archways. The reoccurring Spanish style theme you'll see in quite a few of his homes. He has these open kind of garden spaces. He had these air vents off the pitches of the roof that were very similar in all the homes. They're very round tile vent.
Yeah.
Vents in the pitch. So some of these lead me to believe that either somebody copied his style or he literally built a majority of these houses. I would err on he probably built these homes. Once you get into a house, he used a lot of the same materials too. So he, in the basement, oftentimes there's like wood ceilings or wood beams. There were second kitchens in a majority of the homes that he built.
Really?
Yeah. Certain types of tile or doors that he used. And all this stuff, the crazy thing is all this stuff was sourced here in Iowa.
Really?
So a lot of these materials came from local places. And I was able to find some of the old like real estate listings in the newspaper. And this was actually recently. And they talked about the materials that they used in these homes and how big of a deal it was that they used
were sourced
this specific
out of Iowa.
Material. Yeah.
Wow. What a fascinating, you know, it's kind of like being the sleuth.
Yeah.
For housing. And to think that you're a realtor, so you get into a lot of houses and you can see a lot of what's going on out there. It must be just fascinating to do that. But I'm not going to go into real estate. not going to do it. What about the future of the Black Phoenix Group? Adding staff? What are you doing?
I mean, we've talked about potentially trying to grow. I think I kind of alluded to it earlier. I think the future of real estate brokerages is unclear. And I think a majority of agents are kind of faced with a dilemma. And that dilemma is, what is my brokerage offering me that I can't create myself? I think the smoke and mirror that we put up, at least what I thought that I was challenged with, was so many unknowns with starting on brokerage. Like, how in the world would I do that? And then once you cross that precipice, you realize it's pretty easy. Like,
really?
Almost pathetically easy. A lot of what brokerages are offering these days are nothing more than just some comfort. And so if you're willing to be a little bit uncomfortable, you could take home all your commission and do whatever you want. And that's a huge thing in our business.
It is.
Like,
it is.
If a brokerage is going to take 25% of your commission or sometimes 50% of your commission, they better be offering you something significant. And what I had realized long ago is all these brokerages are pitching the same story. nobody has anything different than what anybody else has. I don't care. There's no secret sauce. Clients search for homes online, and a majority of the sites they search are not broker-specific sites. So as a brokerage, what are you offering your team other than software? A majority of these brokers are using the same software that's used at every other brokerage. So I hate to say it, but like when I look at expanding, it's like, what am I going to offer new agents? Nothing. Like nothing that they can't go find themselves, other than if they're just unsatisfied with the leadership in their company. But for me, I think you're going to see a lot more realtors start to do the attorney thing, where they just have their small shop and you just have one or two agents and that's their thing. And you're seeing that a lot more. You're seeing a lot more people start their own brokerages and just have one or two agents and a couple staff, and I think that's probably the way that I'm going to stay.
All of that from a guy that started in the real estate business back in 2007.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, better timing there couldn't be. Our guest has been Zach Bales Henry, ladies and gentlemen. We got a little hyper local on the city of Windsor Heights and the architecture here and his home. And if you pass by the Spanish-style homes south on University Avenue, right near the Dairy Queen, I think it is.
68th and University.
68th and University. Beautiful homes. Zach, thanks so much for doing this. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
That, once again, is the voice of Zach Bales Henry, who is the founder of the Black Phoenix Group. And, yes, we will have links to their website up on our radio blog. Well, that's a wrap for today. Thanks so very much for joining us. For all of us that put this together each and every day, Chaff Ramsey is our production coordinator. Sales and marketing, Aaron Libby. The voice of the Business News Hour is Hunter Pease. And the music you're listening to right now was arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett of Jam Good Productions. For all those folks and for Zach Bales Henry, my name's Michael Libby. Have yourself a great day. Be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.